Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have all of you with us today. We've got Grace and Dylan and Ben Dieter hanging out with us on the phone lines today. Wow, we have got a terrific show lined up for you. We're going to be heading over to Oklahoma. We're going to be talking to Ryan Walters, who is the school superintendent there, the state school superintendent, a former history teacher, and they are beginning to allow Prager University materials into the public school system there. This is going to be a fascinating conversation coming up. Also, Robin Poffman, a journalist friend. Robin has filled in many times on this program. Robin was there at 9/11 when the towers fell. She was working as a journalist for Associated Press at the time, and we're going to be talking to Robin. She's going to be running a big road race down in Mississippi in Biloxi, the Tunnel to Towers charity. So we're going to be talking to her about that. Also, our good buddy Carl Higbee from Newsmax and Pastor Robert Jeffress is going to drop by. We also have some breaking news to share with you in just a moment. But a moment of personal privilege here on the Todd Starnes radio program, if you don't mind. And by the way, thank you for all of the kind words as I continue to mend the broken foot and the broken ankle and all the whatnot down there. So anyway, I appreciate all the kind words. But we are officially launching this week the pre-orders for my brand new book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And it is now available wherever you buy your books. You can pre-order it, whether it's Barnes & Noble. I'm shocked that it's at Target, apparently. Wait until they get a load of the content. So if you still shop at Target, you can find it there. But really, wherever you buy your books, Amazon, you name it, you'll be able to pre-order a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. And I'm really excited about this because President Trump, he's not one to do the endorsements. But the president was kind enough to actually endorse the book and wrote some really nice things. This is what the president had to say. Todd Starnes, that's me, is a fierce defender of freedom and a great patriot. He has seen and understands what is happening to our country like few others. His book is absolutely terrific, a must read. And by the way, the president read the book. I had to send the whole manuscript down. So I hope that you will pre-order a copy. We want to send a message to the rest of the nation. We want to send a message to the left that we're ready to fight back. And this book, it's a lot of fun. And if you've read any of my previous books, you know we take a lot of really tough content and we find a way to make it funny. And a lot of people say, Todd, do you write your own books? Because, you know, a lot of these radio hosts out there, they don't write their own copy. They have ghostwriters. And many of them, some are not literate. And so, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, ghostwriters need a paycheck just like everybody else. But when it comes to my writing, I do it. I write every single word. So if you like it, great, I wrote it. If you don't, great, I wrote that too. So, again, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And the pre-orders are underway this week across America. And we want to sell a lot of books. And the reason why is I want you to read this thing. I really do. You know, we talked about President Biden ushering in this dark winter and this malaise across the nation. And he is in the process of snuffing out Lady Liberty's beacon of hope. And we have to stop it. And this book shows us how to do that. So you're going to get a lot of laughs. You're going to be angry. You're going to cry a couple of times. I mean, Ben Dieter was weeping like I've never seen anything like it. But I don't know what chapter he was on, but it really struck pulled the heartstrings, as they say. So again, wherever you get your books, or if you just want to go right now to toddstearns.com, click on our live show blog, and you can order a copy, and we would love for you to do that. Okay, enough of that. We've got a lot to talk about today, and it is also Open Line Friday. So here's the deal. A lot of you folks, you call in. We're right in the throes of, we'll be talking about President Trump. And the phones will ring, and somebody wants to offer up a recipe for sweet potato pie. Well, no, that's off topic. We've held all of those conversations to Friday. So we could be in the throes of talking about President Trump, and you want to talk about sweet potato pie. Today we're going to talk about sweet potato pie. I'm just giving you an example. So give us a call, Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Whatever you want to talk about today, we're going to talk about. That's 844-747-8868. Now, look, just a few moments before we came on the air, word dropped on Newsmax about the Fulton County grand jury report. We now have the official grand jury report. And folks, this just it reaffirms everything I've been telling you about Big Fannie Willis, the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia. So the latest news is that the original plan was to indict 39 people, including U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham, Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue, and former Trump Associate General Michael Flynn. That was the original plan. But at the end of the day, Big Fannie Willis settled on targeting President Trump and 18 others. They're the ones that have now been accused in this fake plot to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Now, folks, I read through it just before I came on the air. And those of you watching on Rumble or Facebook Live, you can see I'm actually holding the final report in my hands. 28 pages. And I can tell you it's a load of hooey. As a matter of fact, Miss Willis would have felt right at home in the old Soviet Union. She is a radicalized district attorney. She is a partisan. Her daddy was an Afrocentric Black Panther. So this guy is bad news. She was out to get President Trump. We've gone over this over and over again. She shared a lot of anti-Trump messages on her social media platforms over the years. And she has literally weaponized her office to take down not just President Trump, but the America First movement. And you have to step back and go, what the heck here? What's going to happen next? Are they going to arrest the 74 million people that voted for Donald John Trump? Is that what's going to happen? And then you have the Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, who sees all of this, clearly says he's troubled, but he says he will not take any action to remove Big Fannie Willis from office. He will not call for the state legislature to return for a special session so they can actually investigate this woman. So I think not only would Fannie Willis, Big Fannie, feel right at home in the old Soviet Union, I think that Brian Kemp would feel right at home in the old Soviet Union. What was it that Charlie Daniels said? The devil went down to Georgia? Sure did, and got elected to the district attorney's office, ladies and gentlemen. President Trump, meanwhile, weighing in. I want to read this. He just posted this moments before we went on air. President Trump over on Truth Social. He says the Georgia grand jury report has just been released. It has zero credibility and badly taints Fannie Willis and this whole political witch hunt. Essentially, they wanted to indict anybody who happened to be breathing at the time. This is true. I just said that, Mr. President. It totally undermines the credibility of the findings and badly hurts the great state of Georgia, whose wonderful and patriotic people are not happy with this charade. The charade of an out-of-control prosecutor doing the work of and for the DOJ election interference. So my question to you good people in Georgia, are you upset about this? Are you angry that your tax dollars are being used to target the America First movement and all of her peoples? Does that bother you? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844 747-8868. Now, again, open line Fridays. We are going to your calls. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Morning, the judge released the full report of the special grand jury that assisted District Attorney Fani Willis in the case that she eventually presented to the actual grand jury that indicted former President Trump and 18 co-defendants. Really, what I found most interesting about this document was the scope of this special grand jury's investigation, much wider than the actual grand jury handing down the indictments. We know there were 19 actual indictments, but this special grand jury had recommended indictments against 39 individuals. Among those who were not indicted, the names of 19 prominent individuals, including former Georgia Senator and gubernatorial candidate David Perdue, former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, Georgia Attorney Lynn Wood, Michael Flynn, a former National Security Advisor under the Trump administration, and Boris Epstein, a Trump advisor. All of these names that I just read to you were not indicted, but this special grand jury that did not have indictment power but was recommending actions for the district attorney to take as she presented her case to an actual grand jury, they had recommended those names, a total of 39 individuals. The report was completed in December after the special grand jury, which had subpoena power, had heard testimony from 75 witnesses. Those witnesses include poll workers, Georgia state officials, investigators, as well as some of the individuals that were alleging election fraud in Georgia's 2020 presidential election. But it was this special grand jury's unanimous opinion that there was no widespread fraud in the 2020 Georgia presidential election.
All right, and that is the breaking news that the full grand jury report has been released. President Trump rightly said that Big Fanny was basically trying to indict anybody that was breathing at the time. I mean, that's what that's really all about. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Are you afraid that Trump may end up, and again, I don't think he's going to be able to get a fair trial in Georgia at all. Do you? I mean, unless we move it, unless our good friend Joe from LJ is the grand jury foreman, I don't see that happening. Do you think that Trump can get a fair trial? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Tracy in Memphis. Hi, Tracy. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Hey, so I'm so glad that y'all are on the radio. Y'all know y'all make my seconds, my minutes, my hour, my day, my week, my month, and my year. I really enjoy you guys.
Well, Tracy, yeah. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Y'all are great. Y'all are so entertaining. It's just crazy.
Well, we try to have a little bit of fun in the chaos, Tracy. You have to, or you'd want to go jump off the Mississippi River Bridge, and nobody wants to do that.
But y'all just, you know how to, I don't know, your technique and your style. with interviewing people on serious matters. You still, you know, it's something that I can listen to. It's kind of like, because I like to listen to Trump, too. I don't fall asleep or anything, so I really enjoy you guys. I really do.
Tracy, thank you. You have lifted our spirits today, and we really appreciate you, and thank you for that. Tracy, listening to us on our flagship radio station, KWAM. We have great listeners in Memphis, Tennessee. Tracy, God bless you, and thank you for listening today. Wow, how about that? By the way, there was a shooting last night at a rap concert. I know it's shocking, right? They're always such peaceful affairs. So it's terrible. So now people are trying to figure out, wait a second, how did they get the gun in the building? Because the security to get into the FedEx Forum is worse than the airport. I mean, they don't go just to second base. They'll take you to third base. I mean, they're patting you down in places you didn't know you could fit an arm. It's terrible. But sure enough, somebody, I know it is shocking. Yes, somebody found a gun at a rap concert. I mean, you would expect that at a Southern gospel concert, but a rap, I mean, these are upstanding, decent citizens, the best of the best. It was apparently another rap artist, and I wonder if his gun accident just went off. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it's all terrible. Let's go to John in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, John, what's on your mind today?
I'm just wanting to... appreciate just to let you guys know that we all appreciate you for this show, for just talking the truth. And the thing that I have is he's not going to get a fair trial. I think we all know it. I think what's going on with Biden and what he's got going on, and nobody's looking that way. They're all looking towards Trump. The thing that I have is when are we all going to say it's enough and just and start making moves by ourselves? Because that's what's going to be. Nobody wants to stand up and do anything, and we're just suffering. So that's why I think everybody needs to stand up, join hands, and make a movement.
John, it's a great question you raise, and I think one of those statements we make is going to the ballot box for the Republican primary, but then going to the ballot box on Election Day and mm-hmm. sending a message to the country, you know, 85 million voters saying, you know what, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to stand for our nation, our republic, being turned into some sort of a banana republic. We're just not going to do that. Now, the question, John, and this is something we need to pay attention to. The Democrats are not all that nervous. They ought to be, but they're not. And I think there's probably some thinking that this is already done, that Trump is not going to get a fair trial. They're going to convict Trump. They're going to send him to jail. And they think that's going to stop the Trump movement and stop Trump. John, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's going to backfire, just like that mugshot backfired.
You're exactly right. It's definitely going to backfire. And what it's going to do is it's going to add more fuel to the fire. Things are going to get, you know, heated as it's going to happen. And, you know, I just hope everybody does show up. But the question is, Todd, what if everybody goes to the box and it's the same outcome? That's the question.
Then, John, we've got a big problem in this country.
I think that was already, you know, decided.
Oh, I know.
2.5, 3 years. Yeah. So it's so frustrating when you see what we used to be and how it used to be and how I went to school and what the, you know, things that we stand for. And then, you know, now my kids are in their teens and their 20s. And, you know, it's sad. It is absolutely sad that I know that it is completely different than what it was when I grew up, and it's just getting worse.
Well, it is getting worse. We're keeping our powder dry, but we're not going to be fooled again. You know, they got away with it in 2020. At least they think they did. We're not going to let them get away with it again. That's not going to happen, and it can't. John, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. That's open line Friday, whatever you want to talk about today. By the way, Gavin Newsom, and we're going to play some audio a little bit later, Gavin Newsom now announcing he is not running for the White House, says we need to get behind cackling Kamala. I don't think she's going to be it, folks, and neither is Biden. I think they're paving the way for Michelle. I do. No, Michael, not Michael, Michelle. Michelle. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us. And don't forget, head over to the website, click on our live show blog, and pre-order a copy of my brand new book called Twilight's Last Gleaming. You know what? Don't just pre-order one. Get about 15, 20, 25. They make great stocking stuffers, I think. No, it's a great book. You're going to love it. All right, let's go to the phones. Open line Friday, 844-747-8868. Greg in North Georgia, listening to us on WTUN. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think Congress needs to pass a law that you can't indict a president from the same county. It should be one person from every state, and then they can whittle it down.
They can't do that. I can't. All right. What? Greg, say that again. You broke up a little bit.
Well, you shouldn't be able to indict a president or anybody in his cabinet or his entourage, you know, just from 12 people from one county. You should have to pull from every state in the United States, all 50 states, and then they can whittle it down from there.
Well, you know, if you remember the foreperson of that grand jury, we had some audio from her months ago, and she spilled the beans. And she looked like one of these little, I don't know, forest creatures from some sort of a Tolkien book. She was kind of out there.
I want to be able to throw President Trump in so then I can have him put his hand on the Bible and make him like a swear.
Oh, it was really, really creepy.
That was creepy.
Probably
but
not.
You pull from all 50 states.
Probably goes to one of those cosplay events. Dragon Con. Yeah, Greg. I hear you. I'm just wondering if Big Fanny actually has jurisdiction over what happens in say Arizona and Pennsylvania, which is what she is alleging. I mean, when you look at the charges, they're facing charges for something that apparently happened in Arizona or Pennsylvania. So, I think a lot of this is going to get thrown out, Greg. But to your point, yeah, I see where you're going with it.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that call, Greg, and thank you for listening to us. But isn't it true? She looks like one of those, what is it, Lord of the Rings? Oh, we've got the audio. Take a listen.
Personally, want to hear from the former president.
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump. Of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in, I thought that would be an awesome moment.
Wow. She's a dingbat, that one. All right. By the way, speaking to you folks in Georgia, I don't know what is in the water down there. So we got word that Emory Healthcare, which is sort of like the largest healthcare provider in Georgia, they're now announcing that Christmas Eve will no longer be a paid holiday for workers, and it's been replaced by Juneteenth. Emory Healthcare says they had to give the baby Jesus the heave-ho to appease the diversity, equity, and inclusion crowd. And so beginning in 2024, Juneteenth will be added to the company's holiday calendar, and Christmas Eve, that's just going to be another day at the office. Good Lord. So even the folks over at the NAACP chapter are like, wait, what? You're doing what? You're replacing what with what?
And they said, why can't we just celebrate both? Why can't, what's wrong with that? Because they know that, you know, people are going to think it's the NAACP, but they're like, no, we love Jesus. We may be radical leftist, but we love Jesus. So anyway, people are really upset about this. And again, they're asking, why can't they celebrate both? And the answer is very clear, because Emory Healthcare does not think Christmas Eve is worth celebrating. Isn't Emory Methodist? I think Emory is Methodist, but they must be a part of that far left Methodist group. That's as near as I can tell. All right. Another interesting story, and I just love this one. It is from a town in Mississippi called Batesville. Have you heard of Batesville, Mississippi? So this is about 50, 60 miles or so south of Memphis. And they've got a police chief down there, and the police chief is a no-nonsense police chief. Now, the problem here in this area, and if you live in New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, or Portland, you see this as well, that the crime is not just isolated to a certain area. It's all over the place, right? And that's what's happening in Memphis. So a lot of the thugs and the thuggets and the thuglings. And for those of you that are brand new to the show, thuglings are underage thugs. That crime is spreading from Memphis all the way down into Mississippi. And so the police chief down there, Kerry Pittman is his name. And the chief put out a statement, and we've got this over on the website, toddstearns.com. You got to read this. It's brilliant. So they've been having a hard time because the thuglings have been breaking into cars and stealing anything that's in the car. And they're also stealing the cars. So, I mean, if it's bad around here. So the chief says, he put out a statement. He said, if the thuglings find a vehicle that's unlocked, they're going to go through them looking for money, for guns, valuables. If you left the keys in there, the thuglings are going to steal the keys as well. So the chief had a message for all these little thuglings. We're going to hunt you down. We will find out who you are, and when we do, you will be charged with crimes that you have committed. There's not going to be any lollygagging. You see, in Memphis, Tennessee, we're controlled by a radical George Soros-style district attorney, and this guy loves the thugs. He's like Thug Life USA. His name is Mulroy, Steve Mulroy. He's an FOT, friend of the thug. And so Mulroy, when people get arrested, I am not making this up. And Ben Dieter is he's a journalist, fair and balanced journalist. He can verify what I'm about to say. The police are arresting people in Memphis. Before they can finish the paperwork, the thugs are back out on the streets.
Fact check, true.
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Dieter. So now you have this police chief, and he's warning the thuglings, we're coming after you. Your ass is grass. That's in the Old Testament. But the chief also had a warning for moms and dads, and this is where I'm really excited. So here's the deal. The chief says, if you raise a hoodlum, you're going to go to jail too. Moms and dads, pay attention. I'm going to read this from the police chief. Parents and guardians of the thuglings, when your thugling is charged with a crime, please be advised that you are going to also be charged with contributing to delinquency or neglect of a child. So it doesn't matter. Your kid gets arrested for breaking into a car, you're going to jail too, mom and dad. And by the way, if your kid, like, say, wrecks the car or breaks a window, mom and dad, you're going to be responsible for paying for the damages. And I love this part. The chief also said, please be advised that if your child commits a felony, your charge will also be a felony. These crimes will not be tolerated, and suspects will be charged to the fullest extent that the law allows. I say, God bless you, police chief. God bless you, sir. Could you imagine what would happen if we had more police chiefs in America, like Kerry Pittman of Batesville, Mississippi? I can promise you this, Memphis, Tennessee would be automatically, overnight, become one of the safest cities in America. You know why? Because about 90% of the population would be in jail. I'm telling you, it's horrible out there. So I say, good for you, Chief Pittman. Do you have a problem with that, though? Do you have a problem with charging mommy and daddy for a crime that little Junior commits? because the messages are sort of mixed. You know, a lot of people on social media not very happy with the police chief. But I would contend that desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you're not going to raise your child and you're going to send them out on the streets and let them terrorize the rest of us, then you get what you deserve, mommy and daddy. That's what I say. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Paul, Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I think I've got a way to combat this government mask mandate that they're trying to do. I think we ought to put a social media campaign that says anyone wearing a mask either has a poor smile or bad teeth, so that when you see someone wearing a mask, you just nod your head and they'll feel like maybe there's something wrong with them.
Ooh, I like that. Paul, or maybe we could have a checklist. It could either be one or the other.
Maybe, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea.
Or halitosis. You know, you could have bad breath.
That would be a third.
Paul, I love it. This is a brilliant idea. All right, we're going to work on this. I love it. By the way, some breaking news here, folks. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she is going to seek another term in office. Wait, what? The woman's 83 years old. And she's going to run for office. You know, at some point, you have to step back and ask yourself, are we really running a nursing home? Is that what's really happening up at the U.S. Capitol right now? Are these people able to actually function and govern? That's the question. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. This is Open Line Friday. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Trust you are doing well today. Some programming notes. I will be on Newsmax again hosting today starting at 4 o'clock Eastern. That's 4 o'clock Eastern. You can watch me on Chris Salcedo's show. He's off this week, and we've had a good time hanging out with our friends over at Newsmax. Greg Kelly's time on Newsmax has also moved. He's now on 9 o'clock Eastern, and you can watch his incredible show exclusively on Newsmax. 6 o'clock Eastern, we start tonight with Greta Van Susteren, followed by Rob Schmidt at 7, Eric Bolling, and of course, Eric is exposing Biden's cover-ups and the family corruption every night. Newsmax is telling you the truth, and Newsmax is getting very close to beating CNN in the ratings. And after Tucker's firing, millions of people have already turned off Fox News. President Trump, he's a big Newsmax fan, and he's telling everybody to get Newsmax today. Millions have made the switch to Newsmax. I did, and you should as well. All right, well, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, very concerned, very alarmed, because his city of, what, 14, 15 million people, they're going to have to deal with about 100,000 illegal aliens, not tens of millions like tiny towns along the Texas border are having to do every single day. But now Eric Adams is all upset, and he says that they're on the verge of a disaster, that the illegals are going to destroy New York City Cut 3.
We're getting no support on this national crisis. And we're receiving no support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City.
Well, boo-hoo, sir. Boo-hoo. I have no sympathy for Eric Adams. I want to. I really do. And I want to feel bad for the people of New York City. But the problem is, by and large, most of the people in New York City will continue to vote for Democrats. The Democrats are the ones who got them in this situation. I have no sympathy because New York City is a sanctuary city. They decided, they made a conscious decision to say, you know what, we're not going to pay attention to the law. We're going to ignore the law. We shall flout the law. That's what they said. And that, guess what happened? The illegals came a-running. And why would you not? You know, again, Texas, they don't want the illegals. And so if there's a city like New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or San Francisco and they're a sanctuary city, they've made a public announcement, they've made a profession of faith to the illegal invaders, then come on down. But there are some New Yorkers who get it. And by the way, most of them either live in Staten Island or they live in an area of Brooklyn called Bay Ridge. That's where all the conservatives live, in New York. And here's one New Yorker, and we had to bleep this a lot, primarily because this is how New Yorkers talk. We just had a lot of bleeps, but I think you're going to get the gist of this. Cut number four.
New York parents, you keep making noise, okay? Because this governor does not give a about our kids, okay? They said, listen, kids come to school, you cannot turn them away based on their immigration status. They don't speak English, you need to find somebody who can speak their language. I'm sorry, what the did you just say? Because I'll tell you right now, when my kids went to school, every time I had to register a kid, I needed a mortgage paper, I needed a tax bill, I needed utility bills, birth certificates, vaccination records, okay? My kids had to be up to date on their polio, on their MMR, on their DPT, on their parvo and rabies and like that, okay? Now you're going to let all these kids in the school that have nothing? So I had to protect everybody else's kids. I had to follow all these rules, but now we're just going to throw it out to the wayside because you have a little bit of a crisis? No. No, it doesn't work like that. You know what else doesn't work? What else doesn't work is that I have a vehicle that is licensed and registered and insured. You got all these little electric things, these scooters, these mopeds that have nothing. And they're being used all over the city because the migrants have to learn how to make money. They have to be able to deliver food. They have to be able to run errands with what money? I have no idea. However, what happens when one of these little mopeds hits my car and they don't have insurance? Who's going to pay that? Me? Of course I am. I'm not going to drive around in a car, okay? This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. And you know where it starts? It starts at the top with Bobo, okay? You know, the non-mask wearing, I don't give a about a veteran. I'm going to walk off the stage and I'm a complete moron. So Harris is going to be president. That guy, that's who I'm talking about.
Biden.
Okay. Bobo. But parents, like I said, you keep going because even the most liberal parents out there that I've seen are pissed. We had to stay in a district that we pay taxes in, and now our schools are a nightmare. It's a show. It all goes. It doesn't matter. You know what? When your kid starts coming home with measles and polio, remember a couple years ago that was a big thing? It's coming back. It's coming back. Hochul is a moron.
You know, I realized during my time in New York City, I actually heard someone use the F word as a noun, adjective, and a verb in the same sentence. Who knew it was possible? Look, these parents are angry, and this woman is righteously indignant. And I hear her anger. But the question is, what are you people going to do about it in New York City? Seriously, what are you going to do about it? You know, you've allowed these Democrats to turn your city into a third world hellhole. And I say that because if I've been in New York City, just a couple of weeks ago, walked into a store to get a Gatorade, and you had to show your ID, a credit card, and then you had to wait for somebody to come over and unlock the fridge so you could get a Gatorade. That is a third world hellhole. Oh, yeah, had to walk over the drug addict lying in the middle of the sidewalk to get to the drugstore. So my question is, what are you people going to do about it? I mean, elections have consequences, and you people are so stupid, you keep electing the same people over and over and over again, and you're expecting some sort of a different result. All I can say is we do need to build a wall around New York City to keep those people from coming to our communities, because we don't want them to bring their politics down to Dixie. I'm just saying, we've got enough of problems as it is. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. It's Open Line Friday, so give us a call. We'll have a chat. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this Breaking News Friday, also Open Line Friday. So if whatever you want to talk about today, we're going to talk about, just give us a call, 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. If you head over to the website, which you need to do, this week we are now launching pre-orders for my new book. It'll be out in a few more months, but you can pre-order it now. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You can get yourself a pre-order copy at toddstarnes.com and or really wherever you buy your books. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, doesn't really matter. You'll be able to pre-order the book, but we want you to pre-order a copy or two or three. So again, a lot happening today, folks. Just, about a little over an hour ago, word came down of the Fulton County judge releasing the full court document. And we now know that Big Fannie Willis was wanting to go after, and I think President Trump put this succinctly, she was wanting to go after anybody breathing in MAGA world. The plan was to indict 39 people, including Senators Lindsey Graham, Kelly Loeffler, and David Perdue, along with retired General Michael Flynn. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have a great American patriot. You see him every day, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, Carl Higbee, the host of Carl Higbee Frontline. Hey, Carl, how are you doing?
Todd, thanks for having me on, buddy.
So, Carl, I want to get your reaction here. A word coming out of Georgia, this grand jury report, they were planning on going after everybody.
They basically still are going after everybody. I mean, yes, they've omitted a couple names, but at the end of the day, what they're doing is they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, hoping that somebody somewhere will get caught up in a process crime that they can then use against them to plead against the person above them. I mean, this is like classic, you know, prosecution style, but the problem is in most prosecutions, you have to have a crime that was actually committed. Like somebody must have been, you know, harmed by this. And they don't have that in this case. They're just like, Trump asked for something, and therefore everybody who, you know, sat at the dinner table with him on the second Tuesday at the end of the month is therefore also guilty.
Well, and again, when you look at how this has been operating, and this goes all the way back to the New York district attorney going after Trump, I think you're right. I think that's a great way to describe it. They're literally throwing spaghetti just to see what sticks. But Carl, you know, I think they're misjudging the whole scenario, and it goes back to the mugshot. They thought that was going to destroy Trump. His numbers exploded, and I think if they end up throwing this man in jail, he's still going to get elected president at the end of the day.
Well, I tell you, Todd, I was recommending to anybody who would listen for him not to post bail, not to post bond, and see if Fannie Willis is going to throw him in jail. I would have bet that she would have backed down from that one. But let's say she had gone forward that. Like, look, if they do put Trump in jail, it is on. I watched his motorcade on the way to Fulton County Courthouse when he or the jailhouse or wherever he got the mugshot taken. When he was going down there, I was watching neighborhoods that went 70-80% for Democrat last election cycle out there with hundreds of people with signs, MAGA hats, flags, cheering for the guy, going through these neighborhoods where he got, you know, 20% of the election.
It was remarkable. And I think even here in Memphis, where this show is based, you know, we have seen the president's support in minority communities increasing as people begin to realize, you know what, the Democrats, they've promised us a lot of stuff over the years. They never deliver on the promises. They want to keep everybody on their little political plantation. And now people are waking up and they're discovering, wait a second, Trump said, what have you got to lose by going with me? And it turned out they had everything to gain.
Yeah, well, one of the Democratic talking points and what they've used to appeal to especially the African-American low-income community is like, oh, the justice system is against you. And, you know, I'll fight for your rights and blah, 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 which they never do anyway. But that's their talking point. And they sell that to communities that have higher crime and places like that. The problem is now Trump needs to get on that stand. I mean, he needs to get on his next rally, I think tonight, actually, and say, hey, All you people who have experienced that talking point from the Democratic Party, any of you who feel like that you have been done dirty by the justice system or know someone who has, I get you. I'm your guy. This race is over at that point.
Carl Higbee, the host of Carl Higbee Frontline on Newsmax on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Carl, one of the cool things I like about you, now most people think Carl Higbee Newsmax, you're like living in some sort of a penthouse next to Anderson Cooper and all those highfalutin folks. But that's not you. You're a farm guy.
Yeah, man. Look, I love the outdoors. I live in Greenwich, Connecticut, but I have a farm upstate Connecticut in where I spend the bulk of my free time with my family. Hunting season is coming up in 7 days for deer in Connecticut. You can rest assured I'll be in the tree every chance I get. I think one of the things that's missing from society today, and especially from the environmental freaks, these guys, a bunch of people living in 60-story concrete buildings, are lecturing me, who I personally cultivate over 100 acres, how I should treat the environment. And I think what we've lost is we've lost touch with nature. I think we've lost touch with the things that mankind was supposed to be in touch with. Gathering your own food, planting something. I remember I watched a video of AOC on a rooftop grow like a bean plant once, and she was somehow shocked by agriculture. It's like, this is not how our society is supposed to live. And I think, getting kids off the iPads, getting them in the great outdoors, and being not in the city and not surrounded by all this congestion, it does a body good.
You're right. I remember, when I was a kid growing up, our small town, the opening of deer season, that was a school holiday. Everybody took off from school that day.
As it should be. Although in Connecticut, I get the weird looks. People are like, what? You hunt? especially when I come to Manhattan. I mean, I think that also the bulk of America, I think, is sides with you and I, Todd, on this. It's just the bulk of the population, which is in cities, the geographical bulk, and the population bulk, I think, are two separate different things. And the cities have no idea. Like, I've literally had people say, well, why don't you get your meat at the store like everybody else? Like, where the hell do you think it comes from?
It's a great point. So if you're visiting Newsmax HQ, you see Carl's pickup truck out front with a deer in the back, don't worry about it. You're good. You're good. All right.
Totally normal. I'll make you some jerky.
Oh, there you go. Hey, now. All right. Let's talk about the show coming up today. What you're going to be talking about?
Ooh, so, man, we are about to blow the doors off the revolving door between HHS, CDC, and Big Pharma. We have a study from Harvard, and of all places, Harvard and Southern California University. They have discovered the staggering numbers of the amount of people that go from Big Pharma directly into the CDC and vice versa. We're going to blow the doors off this. You do not want to miss that at 5 o'clock tonight.
All right, 5 o'clock. So I'll be on 4 o'clock in for Salcedo. And so, folks, you're going to want to go ahead, just set your TV on Newsmax and don't change the channel. It's going to be a great show this afternoon. All right, Carl, we're going to let you get back to it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. See you tonight.
All right, Carl Higbee, everybody, over at Newsmax. Going to be a fun show tonight. All right, let's go to the phones here on the show, 844-747-8868. Tariq, listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station. Hey, Tariq, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, how you doing, Mr. Storm? Mr. Stern?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I don't know, how many people are on that waiting list. I know that there's a lot of people who are seeking citizenship in the United States. And, honestly, I don't know what that number is, but it's got to be a large amount of people who have been waiting for years on end to get their citizenship in the United States. But I just think that it's a blatant insult for these people to be skipped over by these people who are illegally being allowed in the United States. And, They're illegally being allowed to come into this country, and at some point, they're going to get legitimized, and You know, and when I say legitimized, all I'm simply saying is that they're going to get, they're eventually going to get their social security card. They're eventually going to get a social security card. And if they get a social security card, it means that they will become eligible to sign up as registered voters. And and if they sign up as registered voters, it's likely that they're going to vote the Democratic ticket, which could simply change the balance of power between these two parties, the Democrat and the Republican Party.
You see, Tariq,
so I think
you've got a good point. Let me jump in here, and I want to answer your question. So last year, about 8.3 million people were waiting for green cards to come into this country. They were at some stage in that process. But the challenge here, Tariq, is these are the kinds of people the Democrats do not want. They don't care. They wouldn't mind if those people trying to come here legally never step foot in America. And the reason why is those people traditionally become Republicans, right? Because they've escaped the oppression. They've escaped the socialist tyranny, and they're trying to get here legally. The Democrats want the folks that are going to break the law, that are going to try to, you know, cross our borders, violate our national sovereignty. Those are the low information voters the Democrat Party's after. They don't want the people trying to come here legally.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's a blatant insult, you know, to these people who's been waiting for years on end. I said
big time,
and unless I'm missing something, the people who are legally being allowed, you know, into this country, they are eventually going to be given a social security number. It's just a matter of time. And if that happens, then you got to believe that they eventually going to try to sign up as a registered voter. And it's almost likely that they are going to probably vote the Democratic ticket. So, you know, for anybody who can't see through this whole scenario in regards to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, heaven help you if you can't see it for what it is. And so another question I want to ask.
Real quick, I've got about 30 seconds here, Tariq. Go for it.
I was just wondering, the trial, this trial that's going to be held in regards to Washington, D.C., when that trial is going to be held.
Well, they're still plotting that. I believe the one with Big Fanny down in Georgia, they're looking for October. And the others, I don't believe dates have actually been set, Tariq, but we'll keep an eye on that and we'll keep you updated. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. It is Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, do you remember that movie with Kirk Russell, Escape from New York, where they put a wall around it? I've been saying this for 2 years. That's exactly what New York is turning out. Whoever makes these movies obviously knows the future, because it's exactly what they need to do to New York, and it's happening now.
Wow. Thank you, Mark from Florida, our correspondent at The Villages, America's friendliest hometown. I do remember that movie. I saw that when I was a kid. And that movie scared the living daylights out of me. But it's true. They did build a wall around New York to keep all the bad people from, you know, infecting the rest of the country. So it's not a bad idea. It's just not a bad idea. So, look, I want to bring in Ben Dieter, who is the host of The Morning Show over on KWAM, our flagship radio station. And Ben brought this this story to my attention, and it involves Jimmy Fallon, the late night TV host. Greg Gutfeld is the king of late night over at, well, he used to be. I guess they moved his show now. So anyway, Jimmy Fallon is facing the possibility that he could lose his job. He could be fired because apparently a lot of the younger staff members say they've been treated poorly, and that Jimmy Fallon is a really mean boss, and he requires a lot out of the kids. He's just a big meanie. He yelled at me. And I'm wondering what's going on here. I mean, one thing could be true is that Jimmy Fallon is a horrible human being and he's very difficult to work with. Or maybe he could be a demanding boss who expects nothing less than perfection. And, you know, I remember, Dieter, that Ellen DeGeneres, was, I'm sorry, DeGeneres.
Thank you.
Ellen DeGeneres was the same way. She came under fire after all of these staffers were talking about, she's just a mean, mean lesbian woman. And people really took offense of that.
And then you have Kelly Clarkson. Remember that story that came out not long ago? She has a daytime talk show. No one knows that, but she does. And there was a mass exodus of staff members working for the Clarkson show because there is a toxic, and that's what they're calling it. It's a toxic work environment.
So when I was growing up through the, and I'm 55, Ben Dieter, there was no such thing as a toxic work environment unless you worked in like a chemical plant. And then that was pretty darn toxic. But I mean, the reality is there are going to be days when your boss is maybe just not a nice person, or your boss yells at you because you've done something wrong. That doesn't mean that that's a toxic work. That's just work. It's called life.
Well, let me ask you this. When you were growing up and came through the ranks of television, news, radio, did you guys have a thing called a crying room?
A what?
A crying room.
A crying room, like a room that like weeps?
Think of a safe space, a little cubbyhole where disgruntled, sad, angry employees who get chewed out by their toxic boss in these toxic environments can go in and air out their grievances. Crying room and cry. And
so they have one of these over at Jimmy Fallon headquarters.
Well, no, not technically. They're guest rooms for the guests that appear on the late night show, but the staffs are using them to weep and gnash teeth in.
What?
Yeah.
I don't mean to disparage your entire generation. You're a Gen Zer, Ben Dieter. What the hell's wrong with your people? What's going on there?
And someone told me they overheard one of their staff members saying, it's so bad here, I want to kill myself.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrible.
So have we raised like a nation of wusses? Is that what's happened here?
Clearly not in your workshop. There is no cry room here.
No, there is no cry. There's no crying in journalism or baseball. But
suck
there's
it up,
no
Buttercup.
Crying. That's right. What did you say?
Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Mm-hmm. I like that. But I'm wondering, it could be that Ellen DeGeneres and Jimmy Fallon and Kelly Clarkson and Todd Stearns were all just horrible human beings, or maybe just maybe they're demanding excellence in the work that they expect from the staff. But it sounds to me like we just raised a generation of wusses. That's what it sounds like to me. I'll tell you a story when we come back from the break. It involved a news director who was very unkind to me at one time. I didn't go into a crying room. There's no crying in this business. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, so I had to finish my thought here about Jimmy Fallon, and we've got Ben Dieter, who is the morning show host at KWAM, our flagship station. By the way, the number one morning radio program in the city of Memphis. Well done you, Mr. Dieter. And by the way, Dieter's going to be on Newsmax TV later this afternoon. Also joining us is a good friend of mine, and she and I actually worked in a toxic work environment back in the day. Robin Poffman, a former Fox colleague. Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good. Aren't you glad you don't sit next to me anymore with my hard-boiled eggs for breakfast?
That was toxic. Yeah, and we're not going to name the other. There was a female news anchor who used to eat steamed broccoli at 5 a.m. That'll wake you up. Yeah, that'll wake you up. I'll just say. So Robin Poffman, I think the question I have is, have we raised a generation of wusses? And these people that are working for Jimmy Fallon and Ellen DeGeneres and what's Kelly Clarkson, are these people really just bad people? Or are we just hiring a bunch of lily-livered little jellyfish wusses?
It's nauseating. I call them the boo-hoo-hooers, like boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. They're crying in their little safe space. I can't stand it. we've raised so many weak people, and I think it's nauseating, and they're all going to become our bosses, Todd. Well, maybe not your boss, but you know what I mean.
I think we're pretty good in this shop. I mean, Dieter makes some of us cry, but, you know, he's just, he's talent, you know. You know how talent can be.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, a little temperamental, but it's okay. I love Dieter. Dieter's cool.
Dieter, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I mean, Robin, you're lovely. I mean, Robin did the show with me in Memphis this morning, and I think she detailed what it was like going through the newsrooms or coming up the ranks, and the way she described some of her former bosses, and they would be some of yours as well, Todd. People like me, even me with tough skin, I don't think I could stay in the game. I couldn't do it. They're tough.
So I want to tell you all a story. This was in my early days as I was a TV producer for a local TV news channel. And they had this, the news director was adamant that we always end the show with a camera shot of the city. And it would be, you know, some scenic area of the city. But the problem is once you set that camera shot and you go to it, there's no going out of it. I mean, it you know, you're committed. So anyway, I was fairly new. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 weeks on the job, and they wanted to be out at this beautiful lakeside area where people were, you know, just out enjoying the lake. And we were ending the show a little bit early, but it was a scenic shot. So we thought, you know what? What's 30 seconds of this beautiful lake? And there was a red phone between me and the audio engineer. And so I'm the producer. I'm sitting there and we're rolling the tape and we go and we take the live shot of this lake. And all of a sudden, Robin and Ben, all of a sudden there was a shadow that appeared and it looked like almost like a shadow that you would see for an eclipse. And this woman had to have been north of 400 pounds and she was wearing a thong bikini. And she stopped right in front of the camera. And so her buttocks are to the camera as the credits are rolling for the evening news. And as bad as that was, and we're all at that point, there are four or five people in the control room. And we're all just sort of speechless. And all of a sudden, as we asked ourselves internally, how could things possibly get worse? She then attempted to dig out the thong from her buttocks.
Ew.
And about that time, the phone rings, the red phone, which is hooked up directly to the news director's house. And language came out of that man I did not know that could come out of a human being. And you could hear him just screaming and berating me. And about that time, the engineer to my left grabs the phone and just puts it down. And hangs up on the news director. And he said, That's how you deal with these news directors. Welcome to TV News, son.
Yeah, you know what, Todd? You prompted a memory. I actually thought you were gonna say that something happened like at that Toronto Blue Jays game at that Marriott Hotel when they had the camera fixed on one of the hotel rooms there and they thought it was like a nice scenic shot, but it turned out to be something very different.
National Geographic.
The curtains needed to be closed.
So all that to say, kids, you got to tough it up. You got to tough it up, kids.
Big time. I mean, there were so many times, Todd, you know, I was telling Ben this morning on the morning show in Memphis at the flagship station that, you know, there'll be a book someday and, I'll have to change the names to protect the guilty because there's a lot of managers in both TV and radio that make a lot of bad decisions.
It's true.
And, you know, you can see those decisions, of course, at CNN where the ratings are in the toilet, where you're out of step with who your viewers or your listeners are and they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And then they wonder why the ratings are gone and the advertisers are gone.
It's a great point. And folks, again, Robin Poffman on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a great friend, dear friend, former colleague at Fox News. We've known each other for somewhat 20 years almost now. And Robin, one of the things as we pivot to what we wanted to talk about with you, I was watching a 9/11 special that was produced by ABC News. It was brand new last year. And the very first voice that you hear on this ABC documentary of what happened on 9/11 is you, because you, Robin Pothman, were actually in Lower Manhattan as the terrorist attacks were underway.
Wow. I know I'm on a couple of the specials. You know, I was on a payphone with Associated Press and their Washington Bureau, and just taking you back to the moment where, like, Todd, both buildings are on fire, right? And I'm looking up, and I'm getting ready to do this live shot with AP and Rita Foley, the anchor back then 22 years ago. So I'm on this payphone, and it has, you know, three sides to it. And I'm on the payphone, you know, reporting what I'm seeing, when suddenly all these people around me start screaming and running, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm thinking in my mind, because I can't see because I'm tucked into this payphone, what is worse than both buildings on fire? And then the South Tower is collapsing toward us in slow motion. And I'm like, I got to go. And, you know, we all know how that, you know, turned out, sadly. But, you know, somebody next to me said, you know, part of America is gone forever. And I felt that same way. I feel that way today. When the North Tower collapsed, I said on the air at the time that, you know, it's followed sadly in the path of its twin. And that big empty space at the time also felt like, you know, a big molar in the back of your mouth, Todd, just being ripped out of Lower Manhattan. And, you know, they can put up whatever they want. There's a new structure there. But it's about the symbol of the buildings, you know, that American might, economic might and structure that the radical Islamic terrorists wanted to take down in 1993, 8 years earlier. But they didn't pull it off, but they did pull it off. Osama bin Laden from the cave planned and plotted meticulously with an engineering mind of how to take those two buildings down.
And Robin, so many lives were changed in those moments, and really in the months and the years after that. And you know, charity events started up, and I know that you are very involved in the Tunnel to Towers charity project, which does events not just in New York City but also in Biloxi. We have a lot of listeners along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I want you to tell our folks, first of all, about Tunnel to Towers and what you guys are doing this weekend in Biloxi, Mississippi.
My husband went to church with a man who was a retired New York City police officer. His name was William Billy Kelly. And sadly, he passed away a year ago from cancer, three skin cancers that were the result. He was in the forensics unit of going, working at Ground Zero and also at the Staten Island landfill, and didn't have the right protective gear. And then the cancer spread to his pancreas and liver and ultimately to his brain, sadly. And so we wanted to do something. And my husband said, well, you know all these people in New York. Why don't you call and maybe we can get the mortgage paid off? And, you know, one thing leads to another sometimes. And God puts you in a place where you're just motivated to do something for someone else. For me, it helps me work through my PTSD. And we got with Tunnel to Towers, went up and watched on 11/11 on Veterans Day how they do their process. It's a very, what I love about Tunnel to Towers, it's a charity foundation, tax deduction, and the 90% of the money they take in doesn't go to their administrative costs. It goes right to the people who really need the money. And so we got that mortgage paid off, and now we're doing year two. On 9/9, which is Saturday, there's about 25 5K races all across the country. The one that's closest is the one in Biloxi, Mississippi, and people can still get in on it. All you have to do is go to t2t.org and click on the 5K. I don't know, it's very inexpensive to join. You can still even sign up on Saturday and do this race. And it's just an amazing feeling, and the money goes to a great cause. I just want to add one last thing, and that is that because the charter of 9/11, the families, the children, when they pay off these mortgages, have to be 18 or younger. So because it's been 22 years, they're aging out, and the last couple of homes have been paid off. So Tunnel to Towers is now shifting to military injured in the line of duty, buying houses, building houses in the state of Florida and the Carolinas for our military men and women who've been injured and helping those families. You know, a sink that maybe comes up to, you know, your waist, Todd, or mine, is now lowered so these wonderful patriots can live a normal life and cook in their kitchens, even though that they're in wheelchairs.
It's a great event, and folks, there are events all across the nation, and you can go check those out: the National Run, the Walk, the Climb series. Also, they have a national golf tournament, and you can find information about that. T2T, that's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T, T2T.org, if you want to get information on that. And, of course, Robin, you're going to be at the one in Biloxi, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll be in the Biloxi one for tomorrow. It is the family that has started this, Justin Lopez, is currently with the Biloxi Fire Department. He is running the event with his wife, Bridget. And then my husband, Greg, and I are hosting. If you go to t2t.org and you click on National Golf Series, and there's about at least 30 golf tournaments this year. Ours is the one in Peachtree City, Georgia. If you can't make it, we accept donations of any dollar amount, from $11 to whatever people can afford. And I'm telling you that more than 90% of the funds that they collect goes to where it needs to be going. And that's what I love about this organization.
It's a great organization, and they do a lot of great work. We've worked with them for a number of years, and folks, we want to help out Robin as she and the team work very hard to remember the families that were impacted during 9/11, and also our brave military veterans. So again, t2t.org is the website. We've also got a donate option on our live show blog over at toddstearns.com, and check that out. And if you're down in Biloxi, be sure to say howdy to Robin Poffman. Robin, always good hearing from you. I know we're going to have you back on 9/11 to talk a little bit more in depth about that day and looking back on the events of that day. So safe travels to you, and we hope you guys have a tremendous turnout this weekend.
Thank you so much. You too, Todd. God bless. And I'm going to promo that I will send you the most powerful piece of audio from 22 years ago that I have ever recorded in my 32-year broadcasting career, coming up on Monday on your show.
All right. Robin Poffman, everybody, great journalist, and the charity Tunnel to Towers. They're having a big 5K this weekend. Really, 5Ks all over America. She's going to be at the one in Biloxi, Mississippi. We have a lot of listeners down along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, so get out there and to be a part of that great, great event. All right, we've got to take a break here on this Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget, 4 o'clock Eastern, I'll be hosting on Newsmax. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you join us. And again, t2t.org, that's t2t.org, if you'd like to join this great charity event, Tunnel to Towers. So they, by the way, one of the neat events they do, they a lot of firefighters will run up the stairs in New York City of the Empire State Building. So they'll run up all whatever 100 plus stories of that building, and it's really a remarkable thing. So folks doing some great stuff there. And again, Robin Poffman, one of the journalists of that day, she was there and documented and really became a part of history as a result of all of that. So anyway, we'll look forward to talking with her on Monday. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, we're going to talk to Pastor Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Also, Ryan Walters is the Oklahoma State School Superintendent, and we're going to have a great conversation with him as well. I want to go to the back to Nancy Pelosi, who's just announced that she's going to be running for re-election, even though she's, 83 years old. She says, now more than ever, our city needs us to advance San Francisco values. What exactly is she talking about, San Francisco values? Would those be the values that propel individuals to walk into the middle of the street, drop their pants, and defecate? Are those the values that Nancy's talking about? Or what about the values of the people walking in and pillaging and plundering and looting these stores, forcing the business owners to shut down? I mean, how many dozens and dozens of businesses now shut down? Storefronts have been vacated because of the lawlessness there. I'm curious to know from Nancy, what values is she talking about here? What are you talking about, Nancy? This is unbelievable. Nancy goes on to say, our country needs America to show the world that our flag is still there. What flag is that, darling? Are you talking about the red, white, and blue? Are you talking about that rainbow flag? Are you talking about the puke colors of the trans flag? What are you talking about there, Nancy? What flag, ma'am? She says, our country needs America to show the world that our flag is still there with liberty and justice for all. Well, not everybody, Nancy. Not everybody. Just ask your pal, your gal pal, Big Fanny Willis. She goes on to say, that's why I'm running for re-election and respectfully ask for your vote. So there you go. Nancy Pelosi, the spring chicken. She wants to go back to Congress. No, seriously, what values is this woman talking about? I want to know. All right, hang tight, folks. We've got so much more going on, and we're going to tell you all about it coming up next. Open Line Friday, we're going to be taking your calls. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about today. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's it. American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. Wow, we've got a lot going on, and we're going to be getting to your calls in just a moment. 844-747-8868. It is Open Line Friday, so whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today on the program. Again, 844-747-8868. Also, just a reminder, pre-sales of my brand-new book underway right now, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And you can get yourself a copy at your favorite bookstore. You can also go to toddstarnes.com, and you can pre-order on our website. Just go to the live show blog. Well, I'm very excited about our next guest, and he's really revolutionizing the way things are done in schools across the state of Oklahoma. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is Ryan Walters, the Oklahoma State School Superintendent. Mr. Walters, great to have you with us today.
I sure appreciate you having me on. I love the work you're doing. And, hey, we're playing offense down here in Oklahoma. We're going to get our schools back on track, get liberal indoctrination out, and we're going to actually teach American values in our schools.
That is so vitally important, and I know a lot of our listeners are cheering and honking their horns in their cars right now. What was it that propelled you to say, we've got to do something about our schools here in Oklahoma?
No, I appreciate that. You know, I ran an election down here, went to all of our counties, and heard repeatedly from parents the belief that, you know, look, we are continuing to face liberal indoctrination in our schools. It is undermining the principles in our schools. Myself, I was a former history teacher for 10 years, and I saw it. Our history textbooks, our curriculum in our schools continue to downplay American exceptionalism. They continue to take an emphasis away from those founding documents and those principles our country was founded on, and instead embed critical race theory and this anti-Americanism that would lead kids to believe that America has actually been a force for bad in the world and not good. And so what we've done is we have stripped all that out. We have stripped all of that from our textbooks. We are fighting back against these kind of curriculums that have come out But we're also incredibly excited to announce a partnership with Prager University, where every school, every teacher, every parent in the state will have access to all PragerU's materials across the state, so kids can understand right. about American exceptionalism and where those principles came from.
And I want to get to that in just a moment. I want to go back. I'm curious about this effort to root out these bad books. Did you get a lot of pushback from educators? What was the response from the teachers across your state?
A lot of pushback from the teachers' union, you know, and I will say teachers themselves, we have, you know, being in a red state like Oklahoma, we've got a lot of great conservative teachers who are actually the ones sending us a lot of the material going, you won't believe this textbook or these books we're finding in our schools. But boy, we had the teachers' union just lose their mind fighting against it. You know, that they called it book banning. I said, guys, you can't have pornography in schools and you can't have books that say that America is inherently racist. We don't need that in our textbooks. We need to focus on the facts. And I'll tell you, I'll just be very direct on this. And unfortunately, of course, the Democrats were against us on this. But we had some rhino Republicans that were out denying that this was even going on, despite me showing them the text, despite me showing them the novels, despite me showing them the examples. But we have some rhinos that have been bought and paid for by the teachers union as well. So it was a fight, but we passed these rules and said, no, you're not going to have sexually explicit material in the classroom. I sent a letter to every vendor that we work with and said, if I find any of the 8 core principles we identified as having critical race theory embedded, if we find this, we will no longer do business with you in the state of Oklahoma. And we have a textbook committee that goes through every one of the textbooks approved by the state to ensure that we don't do business with any vendor that does that.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Just last night, there was a huge controversy. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown, and we broadcast our show from Memphis. And the Republican Party pushing back against moms and dads. Moms and dads are wanting partisan school board races so they can have a pretty good idea of who's being elected and the values that are being elected to school boards. And the Republican Party said, no, we will not go down that path. And to your point, a lot of them said, we don't have any problems in our school system. What do you say to Republicans like that around the country?
They need to get a backbone. What has to happen here is if we give over our education system, this is over. We have allowed the left to control corporate media. The left controls pop culture. They are now very, very close to controlling one of the other biggest spheres of influence on the next generation, which is our schools, our education system. This is a plan, a strategic plan that the left has been working on for years. Years ago, remember when George Soros was dumping money into local district attorney races, prosecutor races, and school boards? And a lot of people are going, well, what's he doing with the school? Well, now we see what they were doing with these school board races. They have absolutely got leftists in there. They have got folks into these school boards that have been pushing this material. And we got Republicans that aren't willing to fight this. And I'm going to tell you, parents across the country, I know parents here in the state of Oklahoma, and I know it's the truth for parents across the country, are so tired of Republicans not fighting for them and fighting for their kids and their values. And we have to win this fight for our schools and for our kids.
Well, amen to that. And I hope a lot of our KWAM listeners, you're hearing this and you feel encouraged. Again, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Ryan Walters, who is the state school superintendent in Oklahoma. And Ryan, I do want to talk about Prager University. They put out such great material. And now there is a partnership between the public schools there in the state and PragerU. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. We're one of the first states in the country to do this, and they do an incredible job of taking primary source material, actual quotes from the founders, from individuals in American history, and distilling that down into even the earliest grade schools where they can actually hear about George Washington, hear about Thomas Jefferson, and guess what? More than just that they were slave owners. You know, that's what we've been hearing in so much of this curriculum. Is I had a parent call me actually last night who was giving me an anecdote about my kid came home and said, you know, all they heard about George Washington was he was a slave owner. And they started grilling their kid about, well, did you not, what about his presidency? What about the American Revolution? They go, I don't really remember us saying much about that. Well, we're not going to do that in Oklahoma. PragerU does an incredible job of having the founders come to life, emphasizing the principles laid out in the Declaration of Independence. By the way, not steering away from things like being endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights and what that actually means. We are so tired of the left driving out our Judeo-Christian values in this country, it is clear. It is history. Our founders believed that we were a nation founded on those Judeo-Christian principles, and that would cause us to be an exceptional country, a light into the world. And we need to teach our kids that. Those are part of the core principles of the founding of America. So we're going to have that across the state. And I love this about PragerU too. It's completely transparent to parents. Parents can see every video, every lesson plan, every piece of curriculum. Every single parent in the state can see exactly what's going on in our classes.
So Ryan, I'm curious here. How long have you been superintendent there in Oklahoma?
I have been superintendent since January.
Since January. So since January, I'm curious, you've been able to start implementing a lot of this stuff. Have you noticed any changes just yet? And if so, what are you hearing out there in the community about the changes that you're making?
Oh yes, sir. And I'll add you one, too. We passed full universal school choice in my first term as well. So we've got this extra, we got parents incredibly involved. We've had them empowered. We have pushed for this curriculum, taking the other curriculum out. We're hearing from parents all over the state that are very excited. I had several messages from teachers this week about we've always wanted to use PragerU, weren't sure if we'd be able to, so we're so excited these materials are available. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. We did a signing bonus this year to bring teachers to the state. We were able to recruit over 800 new teachers to the state of Oklahoma because we've been clear.
Wow.
We're not going to have indoctrination in the classroom. We're not going to allow administrators to push this garbage on you. We're going to have discipline in our classes. And guess what? We're going to teach the basics, and we're going to drive home the importance of understanding American history. And so we've got teachers wanting to come to the classroom, good conservative folks with traditional values. And so we're going to keep making sure that our parents have that transparency. We're seeing parents across the state that are so excited about the direction that we're taking the education system, and we're just getting started.
Well, Ryan, we're gonna leave it there. We're gonna get you back on because I just truly believe this is the issue of our lifetime. And if we do not reclaim our public schools, this country will be lost. I think it really is that black and white.
Amen. I could not agree with you more. Decline is a choice. If we do not teach our kids what makes America great, that will be the path for America, but we can turn it around, but we have to have a sense of urgency to do it. I couldn't agree with you more.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Walters, he is the state school superintendent in Oklahoma, and they are just revolutionizing the way they're teaching kids, now introducing PragerU materials into the classroom. This is a great thing that's happening, and folks, you can follow Ryan on Twitter. We have those links over on our live show blog. Ryan, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on the program today.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to think about this for a moment. And I want to back up. Yesterday, we've been having a big fight within the Republican Party here in this part of Tennessee. And you have the establishment, you have the leadership of the Republican Party, and they say, we do not want partisan elections. We want it to be, we don't need people to be Republican or Democrat. As a matter of fact, the Shelby County Republican Party actually endorsed a Democrat for mayor of Memphis. This just happened a couple of weeks ago. And so now you have the group Moms for Liberty, and they're out there, and Moms for Liberty, they're saying, we need these partisan school board races. We need to know who we are electing to these school boards. Because even in a place like Memphis and conservative suburbs, you've got a lot of people out there that were elected and they're raging Democrats. And so you've got parents that are rising up and they're saying, we've got to do this. And last night they had a big meeting and the Republican Executive Committee voted on this. They did so behind closed doors. They did so with a private vote. A state senator, a good guy by the name of Brent Taylor, tried to enter that meeting, and he was kicked out. He was kicked out of the meeting because he believes that we should have Republicans and Democrats and we running for office, and we ought to know if they're Republican or Democrat. Meanwhile, they allowed into this private meeting individuals who were opposed to Moms for Liberty. That's a big problem. And at the end of the day, the establishment Republicans won. They won the vote yesterday. So I want to talk to all the parents, and we have a lot of parents that listen to us in the Memphis area and really all over the nation, but especially in Memphis. You do not be discouraged. You just heard from the state school superintendent in Oklahoma who told you to fight the good fight, because this is a noble fight. And if we do not stand up and protect our schools and root out all of this anti-American activity, then we will lose our country. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. And I would encourage you, Republicans out there, to make sure you understand who you're supporting. All right? Just because they have an R after their name doesn't mean they're actually a Republican. A lot of those folks are rhinos. And even worse, they're country club Republicans. All right, let's go to the phones here real quick. 844-747-8868. Jerry, listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. Hi, Jerry. What's your question?
Hello. Your screener said I had a great question. An hour ago or so, you said, when someone was calling in and saying, what are we going to do, Todd, if the Democrats beat us again in 2024? And you said, we're not going to stand for it. Would you tell me specifically what that means?
That's right. We are going to rise up, and we are going to file lawsuits. We are going to do everything within our power to fight back from these people that are stealing our elections, Jerry.
Well, you had 60 lawsuits that you filed this last time and got laughed out of court every one.
Well, Jerry, let me stop you there. I didn't file a single lawsuit, so what are you talking about? What lawsuits have I filed?
Rudy Giuliani on behalf of Trump did.
Okay, well, call Rudy then. What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about fighting. They wanted to fight back. You said you were going to file lawsuits. I was just pointing out that that's what they did in 2020.
Jerry, they stole the election, no doubt about it, and we just got to do a lot smarter and bigger job and better job of proving how that happened.
Todd,
I'm being specific, Jerry. I'm being specific.
Not, when you rise up, are you going to go Huckabee's way and say we're going to use bullets instead of butt ballots?
That's not what Huckabee said. Don't lie, Jerry. Don't be a liar. Don't come on this program and lie. That's not what Huckabee said.
Todd, you say we're going to get to that point. We're going to get to that point.
Yeah, it's heading to that. It is heading to that point, Jerry. Are we there yet? No, I don't think we are. But I'm telling you.
We're getting to that point, huh?
That's right. We are, Jerry.
All right. Well, I'm glad.
Your hearing's pretty good. I mean, you're hearing what I'm saying.
No, but I'm not hearing specifics. What the heck, other than filing lawsuits, are you going to do?
What do you want us to do, Jerry?
Come on, Jerry, spit it out.
Come on, Jerry, spit it out. What do you want us to do?
I want to know what you are going to do.
I just told you. Maybe your hearing's not all that good. I just told you, Jerry.
You're going to file lawsuits, and if the lawsuits don't go your way when it's time for the inauguration, then what happens?
I'm going to answer your question, Jerry. We're going to take it one day at a time. How's that? All right, Jerry, got to run. Appreciate your call. All right. Oh, boy. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy to have you with us. Open Line Friday. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a matter of moments. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I will say this. It is so vitally important that the Republicans take a rock-solid stand when it comes to our schools. And if you are a member of a Republican Party and they've gone woke, if you've got a Republican Party out there and the Republican Party is refusing to endorse Republican candidates, then I would encourage you sincerely to stop giving money to that Republican Party. That's what I would do. Because clearly, that's not a Republican Party. It's a country club. It's not a political party. And if you are in a majority Republican or a majority blue area, if you're controlled by Democrats, your local Republican Party, I don't care where you are, you should be on a wartime footing. You should be holding press conferences. You should be out in the streets, marching, knocking on doors, doing whatever you can to get the word out, to spread freedom across the land. That's what you ought to be doing. Let's go to Frank in North Carolina, wants to respond to Jerry. Hi, Frank. What's going on?
All right, Todd. I'd like to tell Jerry what he can do.
tell them to get out there and volunteer to be a poll watcher. Just go, if there's drop boxes in your area, just go get yourself a lunch and sit by them for a couple hours with your cell phone and take pictures of people dropping off ballots. You know, you got to get out there and do what you can do.
That's it, Frank. But I think Jerry's a liberal. That would make two liberals named Jerry that listen to this program. So we have Southern Jerry and Northern. We call him Yankee Jerry and Rebel Jerry. All right, it's a good idea, and we do need a lot of poll watchers out there. All right, hang tight, everybody. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing well. You know, our next guest, he's a regular on this program, the official chaplain of the Todd Stearns radio program. And Lord knows we need one. I think we're the only talk radio show in America with our own chaplain, now celebrating his 16th anniversary at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. 16 years. Our good friend, Pastor Robert Jeffress, joins us. Dr. Jeffress, happy anniversary to you.
Well, thank you, and bless you, my son.
Wow. Well, I'll accept the blessing. A chaplain
blessing.
I got to be honest with you, Dr. J. I'm kind of surprised you lasted this long because you literally imploded the entire church. I mean, literally. Kaboom!
You know, well, Mike Huckabee used to say, he said, I blew up a lot of churches when I was a pastor, but not like this one.
And I think we have to explain that. You guys made the decision. I mean, you'd been in the same building, a sanctuary, for what? I mean, since the beginnings of the church there in downtown Dallas.
Almost 155 years ago, we started occupying these blocks of downtown Dallas, and we're up to six blocks now. And like you said, and you were so kind to cover, the church in the middle of the Great Recession of 2008-2009 entered into the largest building program of any church in modern history, and we ended up blowing up six blocks worth of buildings to start over. But it's a great testimony to the power of God.
And it's interesting because so many churches have, you know, for whatever reason, moved out of the downtown areas of their cities. They followed the parishioners as they've moved out to the burbs. But you guys made a pretty deliberate decision to stay put in downtown. And I'm curious, how has that worked out for First Baptist Church?
Well, it's worked out tremendously. We are growing furiously. We opened our new facility back in 2013 and within about 2 years ran out of space for our children's and youth and so forth. So we had to add another $35 million addition. In the last 10 years, we've built about $225 million worth of buildings. And all of that is a testament to the glory of God. I think every large city needs a powerful downtown church to be a beacon for Jesus Christ.
Well, I agree with that, and it certainly is. And I love how you guys still utilize the old sanctuary there, and, of course, that beautiful new modern space as well. My favorite is the baptistry. You guys have a really cool area where you can actually do outdoor baptisms.
We do. We can do it outdoors in the beautiful fountain that we have, which is now one of the iconic symbols of downtown Dallas. And then we do it the old-fashioned way inside as well. And we're seeing people, Todd, from all different faiths coming to First Baptist, because one thing we're finding is people don't care about denominational labels. They want to come to a church where the Bible is taught as the Word of God. In this chaos that we're in right now as a country, people need a clear word from God.
You know, I think it's interesting you said that, because so many other, and there are a lot of churches that have fired the choir. They've gone to more of a nightclub style. And look, I mean, if that works for you and if you're reaching people with a gospel message, that's great. But I think you've illustrated that and demonstrated that really at the heart, the core of what you guys do, it's really about the Word of God.
Absolutely. And look, worship styles change, polls change, people change, but God's word never changes. My predecessor, Dr. Criswell, who was here for 50 years, his favorite verse was Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Wow, it's amazing. And I remember, I actually got to see him preach once many years ago when I was in high school. We were on a road trip to Dallas, Texas, and we went to First Baptist Church, and it was just really amazing. I was stunned by how he remembered people's names.
Yeah, he was just amazing in his ability to do that. And he was my pastor growing up. I actually grew up in the church that I pastor now, and he made an indelible impression upon me.
So you have a brand new book coming out, and we're going to get to that in a second. But I have a horrifying confession to make, Dr. Jeffers. So I have a new book that'll be out in March. And I thought the name was rather unique and clever until I was searching for it. We went on pre-sale this week. And so I was searching for it. And guess who also had a book by a very somewhat similar title? Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Oh, no.
I'm like, wow.
Is it Twilight's Last Gleaming?
It is, Pastor Jeffers. But I have a really cool subtitle. So can America be saved?
Well, good. Well, if I'm going to give up my title to anybody, it would be Todd Starnes. So well, take it and use it well.
Yeah, the book you've got coming out, and this is very soon, is called The Ten, How to Live and Love in a World That Has Lost Its Way.
Right. It's a book on the Ten Commandments. It's a fresh look at the 3,500-year-old commandments from God. And, you know, I think in this climate we're in of moral, political, spiritual chaos, we need a clear word from God, and you find it in the Ten Commandments. You know this better than anybody. For the last 50 years, our nation has been trying to uncouple itself from the Ten Commandments. We've banned them from our schools, and the result has been disastrous. And so this new book, The Ten, again, is a fresh look at how the Ten Commandments were given not to oppress us, but to bless us. Not to restrict our freedom, but to enhance our happiness. And I hope people will pick up a copy. It's available on pre-sale right now, The 10, and it comes out October the 3rd.
All right. So, folks, head over to our website, toddstarnes.com, and we have a direct link so that you can get a copy of Pastor Jeffers' book there, The 10, How to Live and Love in a World That Has Lost Its Way. Now, the big celebration, you guys are having a big bash, I understand, Sunday. Going to be cake? Are you going to have cake? You guys always feed people well at First Baptist Dallas.
You've been here many times, Todd, speaking, and you know that we eat well at First Baptist Dallas. So they're going to have a celebration of my 16 years as pastor here. So anybody in the area is welcome to come. We'd love to have you.
All right. And that is coming up Sunday, folks, in Dallas, Texas, First Baptist Dallas. Go and be a part of the great, one of the friendliest congregations in America, and you're just going to have a wonderful time. All right, Pastor Jeffers, good hearing from you, and congratulations on the big anniversary.
Thanks, Todd. It's time for you to come back and see us soon.
I'd love to. I'm just about 6 hours away in Memphis, so you know I could make a road. I could do a road trip.
You do a road
trip. I'll pick up Mike Huckabee in Little Rock. There you go. We can have a reunion. All right.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Pastor Robert Jeffers, everybody, and what a great man. And he has taken such a bold stand for the faith, and he's done so from the pulpit there at the First Baptist Church. And it really is, it's an amazing church, and just such loving people, and how they love the downtown community. And that's so vitally important. All right, we've got to take a break here. Open Line Friday, we will be going to your calls coming up next. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a president who's bankrupting our nation with the trillions that he spent. His son is a crooked businessman. His crimes, you know them well. His dad has put this nation through 3 years of hell. 3 years of hell. Joe's poll numbers are getting rough. His ship is sinking fast.
If we had fair elections, Joe would come in last. Joe would come in last. The SS Biden is a wreck. It's been one for a while with Kamala and KJP. Janet Yellen's a mess. Mayorkas sucks. The economy, how it's tanked. All of Joe Biden's watch.
All right. Thank you there, Jim Gossett, down in the Lido deck. You never know what Gossett's going to come up with. Well done, sir. You know what that's from, Ben Dieter? Do you know the name of the theme song that was originally from?
No, I do not. Geez,
all right, you know what? We're going to call it audible. We're going to give somebody.
Todd's going to be generous.
That's right.
Here he goes.
So if you know the name of the theme song, okay, right? So this was the theme song of a famous TV show back in the day. What was the name of the TV show? And we're going to educate Ben Dieter. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. We're going to give away a signed copy of Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. So 844-747-8868 if you know the name of the TV show where that theme song came from. I think even Dylan knows the answer to that. He's shaking his head yes. All right. So look, I want to play some audio here. This is Kamala Harris. Speaking of Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris says that she knows why the Republicans are so outraged. Cut number one.
They feel the need to attack because they're scared that we will win based on the merit of the work that Joe Biden and I and our administration has done.
No, darling, that's not the answer. No. We're actually afraid you're going to destroy the nation as we know it. That's what we're concerned about. So, yeah. By the way, Dylan, I think, is Ben using words that are inappropriate for the radio right now? Because the phones are literally ringing off the hook. I think the entire nation knows the answer to this question. Everybody except for Ben Dieter. Well, it is what it is. 844-747-8868. By the way, Dick Cheney, that's right, Richard Dick Cheney, very upset about Donald Trump, and here's what he had to say about Trump, cut number five.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it.
All right, there you go, Richard Cheney. I didn't realize he was still with us. I got a question. By the way, what is the daughter of Dick up to? Have we heard from her lately? Have we heard from Liz? Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick? We have not. All right, thank you there. All right, Dieter, so we've got some candidates here for the trivia. Let's go to Krista in Georgia. Hi, Krista, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Krista, I am doing well. Are you surprised to hear that our Gen Zer on staff did not know the answer to this question?
A little.
I'm just shocked. What are they teaching the kids in school, Krista?
I don't know.
I don't either. All right. Well, let's see if we can't win you a copy of Culture Jihad, Krista. What was the name of that TV show back in the day?
Gilligan's Island.
Yes, that's right, Krista. We would have taken Gilligan's Island or Gilligan's Island. So, yes, congratulations, Krista. You're the winner.
Thank you.
All right, hang tight. We're going to get your address so we can send you a copy of Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. So, wow. All right, there you go. So, Dieter, you learned something new. It was Gilligan's Island. They were on a three-hour island cruise and ended up getting shipwrecked, and they spent the rest of their lives on the island until the movie came out.
You're kidding.
No. There was, and it was like kind of a dinky little boat, which is why I never understood why the millionaire and his wife were on board the SS Minnow. That was the name of the boat, Ben, the SS Minnow.
What is it? Is this a book? Is this a movie?
It's a TV show.
Oh.
It's a TV show.
When she answered, I was like, are we talking about the Galapagos Island? I mean,
no, it's Gilligan's Island.
I'm learning a lot, all right? Your listeners are generous. They're smart.
Not the Galapagos Island. What are you talking about? So you had the skipper, and then you had the who was like a big dude. His name was, he was played by Alan Hale is his name. Alan Hale was the actor.
Mm.
And then you had Gilligan, who was the skinny, like, second mate. And he was always the goofy one. He was always, you know, kind of bumbling. And then you had the professor, who was a professor. And then you had Marianne and Ginger, who were sort of like the heartthrobs. And so if you were a child, if you were a young man of a certain age, you were either a Marianne or a Ginger. So if they would ask you, oh, are you a Marianne? And Ginger was the Hollywood starlet, who for some reason showed up for the three-hour island tour wearing stiletto heels and a sparkly dress. I'm really... And then you had Mr. and Mrs. Howell, who are the multimillionaires. Thurston and Lovey. Thurston wow. Howell the Third and Lovey. Wow, how do I remember all of this?
This was so fascinating. I'm glad I tuned into this show today.
See, back in the day, you know, let's go to Jennifer in Texas. Jennifer, how are you today?
Hey, I'm fantastic, Todd.
Good. Did you know the answer to the question was Gilligan's Island?
Yes, I knew that. Now, I have some trivia for you.
Uh-oh.
Name this song. Is that okay?
Name this song. Okay. I'm scared.
All right, I'm going to sing it. You name it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
That's Amazing Grace.
But now I see. Amen.
Okay. I thought it was the religious version of Gilligan's Island. I don't know. It's
Amazing Grace put to that tune.
Wow. You know, you can put a lot of stuff. What was the, there's a nursery rhyme that you can sing it, and it's like five or six nursery rhymes have the same tune. And I can't remember what it was.
Right.
I'll remember it in the day. Wow. You know, Jennifer, I'm just.
Twinkle, little star.
I'm just so, my heart goes out to people like Ben Dieter. Ben, my heart goes out to you because clearly our education system is failing you and has failed you. Because you're not familiar with Gilligan's Island.
No, I've been on Hulu on my phone trying to find it. They're not streaming it.
It's not on Hulu.
Come on.
Jennifer, do you remember the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes, really. Not back in the day, but only in reruns.
Right. Well, I was a rerun kid, too. Of course. And then you had, the Partridge Family and all of the. You see, the Partridge Family, I always thought was the edgier version of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that could be. Now, that's another one I didn't watch consistently when it was on actual time.
Back in the day. Jennifer, we're going to send you a copy of Culture Jihad 2. All right, so we're going to put you on hold, and Ben will get your intel. So there you go. Yeah. They don't make TV sitcoms like they used to, folks. They sure don't. All right. Wow. This has been a wild and weird day. A couple of things, just as a matter of protocol. If you haven't already done so, head over to the website, download our newsletter and our podcast. Now, look, there is so much censorship happening in social media, and there's nothing we can do about it. We have tried, but that's why we have stuff happening on our website, toddstearns.com, because we control that. So head over there and be sure to get yourself a copy of our free podcast and our free newsletter. And that way you have actual money left to pre-order my new book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And I really hope that you will take a moment this weekend and pre-order a copy of this book. I'm excited. I'm excited for you to read this one. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun. Want to thank our great team here as we head out into the weekend. Go Vols, by the way. Want to thank Dylan and Ben and Grace, our great team here. Folks, you get out there, you have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.